road tripping and thinking about the next charging station. For Marketplace in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler, and for David Brancaccio. AAA estimates that about 35 million Americans took to the road this weekend, and with gas prices at an all-time high for Memorial Day, the prospect of going electric has some making the switch, that is, for those who can afford it. And even if the sticker shock doesn't dissuade you, moving over to an EV has another set of issues, namely that charging infrastructure is still slowly being rolled out. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino reports that road tripping in an electric car has its challenges still, but piece by piece, it's becoming more doable.
Michael Stern had a plan when he drove his Kia Niro EV from the D.C. area to visit family in New Jersey for MLK Day.
The only place to charge up with a fast charger is at the Christiana Mall in Delaware.
So he grabbed lunch there and recharged for about 40 minutes. But when he arrived,
there's someone parked in the fast charger spot that wasn't an electric vehicle.
Making more longer stops at slow chargers added 3 hours to what is usually a 4-hour trip. The road trip experience for EV drivers is improving, says Sam Abu El Samad, an analyst at Guidehouse Insights.
Hotels are installing destination chargers. You know, charging networks are expanding.
The bipartisan infrastructure bill put $5 billion into building chargers along busy interstates. And Tesla, which has the largest network, is trying out systems that'll open its chargers to other cars. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. U.S. stock and bond markets are closed today in observance of Memorial Day. The FTSE in London is up almost 3% this morning. The DAX in Germany is up a little more than half of 1%. Oil prices are at their highest in more than 2 months today as European officials get together in Brussels to discuss plans to ban Russian oil imports. Brent crude is trading at just about $120 a barrel, and West Texas Intermediate sits at $115.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been more than 6 years since 196 countries signed an agreement in Paris to limit global warming and work toward a climate-neutral world. Since then, there have been 2 U.S. presidential elections. The Trump administration pulled the U.S. out of the agreement. The Biden administration has since rejoined it. The sobering warnings about climate change have continued, along with political gridlock on how to proceed. Sticking points include what happens to current jobs and fossil fuels if the energy industry goes green, and how do we innovate without creating other issues for the environment? It's all discussed in a new book called Confronting Climate Gridlock, How Diplomacy, Technology, and Policy Can Unlock a Clean Energy Future. The author is Daniel Cohan. He's an environmental engineering professor at Rice University in Houston. He joins me now. Professor Cohan, thanks for being here.
Great to be with you, Andy.
You compartmentalize into basically 3 different buckets that we need to focus on. Break those down for me. There are 3 ways we need to think about getting out of this gridlock that is the discussion about climate change, right?
Right. So as an atmospheric scientist and environmental engineer, I focus most on technologies. That's what we think about most of what we need to be able to clean up electricity, what we need for cleaner cars. But those aren't going to make it to market, and those aren't going to help cool the climate unless there are policies that get those to be deployed domestically and what we do domestically, what we do in the US, isn't enough because we're only 1/7 of the world's emissions. So we need diplomacy to take what we do here in the US and make sure that that starts being applied in other parts of the world as well.
I'm curious about, I've been thinking about this a lot, whether or not there's an adversarial relationship between things like geoengineering and the sort of adaptation that a lot of folks in this space talk about and mitigation. What do you think? Can the two sort of work together? And it seems like inherently they have to, right?
Right. We're going to have to adapt to a warmer climate because even if we do everything possible, we're still going to be living in a warming climate. And so we're going to need to adapt to stronger heat waves and droughts and stronger hurricanes, more flooding. But it needs not to be seen in opposition. We need to do both. We need to both adapt and we need to mitigate. We need to move to clean energy. We need to reduce our emissions so that warming doesn't happen so quickly.
Should we be focusing on existing technology? Should we concentrate on building new, cleaner tech? Is there maybe a middle ground? You tell me.
Things like wind and solar power really can already outcompete dirtier forms of electricity, and we just need to build more of them quickly. We're not adding them fast enough. And I think there are other technologies where we really need a big breakthrough, where we don't yet have affordable enough heat pumps. We don't yet have a next generation nuclear technology that's cheap enough, if we ever will. Geothermal is really at the cusp of becoming something that I think could really take off. What I also see, though, is that what carries those cutting-edge technologies to the cheaper cost can't just happen in the lab. We need policies that pull those into the market, that get them adopted more, because if we can adopt them while they're at that edge, while they're not quite cheap enough, that can drive the economies of scale, that can drive what technologists call learning by doing, and as you do things more and more, the costs have come down. And so we need to take that learning by doing that made solar cheap, and we need to repeat that for geothermal, for clean hydrogen, for so many other technologies as well.
Daniel Kohan is author of the book Confronting Climate Gridlock. It's out now. It's absolutely worth a read. Professor Kohan, thanks again for being here.
Thanks, Andy. Great to be with you.
Professor Kohan and I discussed many more facets of the climate change debate. You can listen to our full conversation at marketplace.org. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.